The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Weekend, it went by awfully fast, and the week will go by just about as fast. Tex Mars is back tonight after a month absence. What did you do in your time off, Tex?
Hey, Jeff, glad to be with you again.
Thank you.
Well, I guess I just wait for the next month.
Yeah.
I love these programs every month. You know, it seems like they're so much faster than every month. It seems like every week we're all together.
I know, it really does. The amount of information coming in is beyond overload, it's beyond overwhelm, and it just it takes the clock and turns it into a nothing. There's just no clock anymore. It's just racing.
That is true. Seems like we just finished the program, already we're ready to do another one. But
it is
a real opportunity for me to come on your program. You have a great program, great audience, and I just feel very privileged, to come on and be able to explain. What I'm thinking or what I've recently discovered.
Well, these people are our wonderful audience. They really appreciate you, and they look forward to your visits each month. I get nothing but wonderful emails. So keep it up. You're one of a kind, and we need it.
Well, I am going to keep it up. You know, I'm getting a little bit older now, and I feel a bit weaker in the overall physical capacity. But, you know, I think God has blessed me in the brain.
You're wiser than ever.
Well, that's kind of you to say that. Time will tell, but I do feel like I'm able to write more and understand more things that I couldn't understand when I was younger. They all come together. You know how it is. Everything does work together. There's connections and
God is there. What is that old expression?
I really understand
the expression.
The interesting thing is, Jeff, the people who write you, now you can tell me this is your experience, it's been mine.
Yeah.
They don't write me anymore and question me and say, what you're saying is not true. They're right in line with me.
They got it, Tex.
They've awakened. Something has happened, some switch has turned on, and a light has come on, and my audience is awakened now. And now we're going to see what's going to happen next, because people, they're awake. They're angry and they're upset.
You're so right. Yeah. Are you on a speakerphone, text or anything like that?
I can get a little bit. Let me see. Is this better?
Yeah. If you can get a little closer, that's good. You sound a little bit distant there.
Okay. If this is better, I'm glad.
Yes. Thank you. Very good. Excellent. I think one little quick underscore to what you said. The folks listening, it's like a I don't want to say family. It's better than that. These people out there are really in here. They get it. They understand what you're saying. They question, but they don't question the entire thesis. They only question to fine-tune things. They've got the message. They've got the narrative. They've got the underscore. They've got it.
They really do, and now they can go back in history. You know, we can look back at the JFK assassination and see that things are connected. I mean, all the way up to today. I mean, we know that George Bush Sr., George Herbert Walker Bush, you know.
Yeah.
He was involved in the killing of John F. Kennedy.
Yes.
He was there in Dallas.
Yes.
He worked for the CIA. That's why later on they made him the director of the CIA.
And he took his son, W., to Dealey Plaza so he could be there to witness history being made. Do you know that?
Well, it's incredible. And, of course, Jeb, all of them are just absolute monsters. They really are.
Oh, yeah.
They're psychopaths. The whole family are psychopaths. Recently, you know, it came out, and you reported it in Rents.com, that the father of Ted Cruz.
Yeah.
You know, worked evidently with
Lee Harvey Oswald. He was tied to the CIA when he came from Cuba. They got, yeah.
And now we have pictures of him on the street corner. They're handing out those brochures with a free Cuba committee. Of course, that was only one day a week. The next day a week, they were working for the other side because it was, you know, it was a hocus-pocus game that they're playing for the CIA there in New Orleans. It's amazing how all these people keep coming up over and over again throughout history. The CIA, the
yes.
Mossad.
Yes.
Now, isn't it interesting that now they're trying to implicate, and of course they can implicate easily, the Saudi Arabians. You know, Saudi Arabians have sort of got on our bad side now. So now we're going to expose their part in 9/11 funding it.
Oh, they're screaming bloody murder. It's just crazy.
And they were involved.
Of course they were.
But they're not going to tell us about the Jews, about what Israel did too.
Tex, hold on. They'll tell us about the Saudis. They'll tell us about anyone else, but they will not touch the ultimate control mechanism. The Rothschild Zionist Jew machine pulled the primary strings, directed the CIA to a large degree. I believe they're at the top of the pyramid. I think that's it. Period.
Oh, absolutely. Even Trump, you know, he was telling us something when he talked about the Arabs.
Yeah.
In New Jersey that were, you know, demonstrating when the 9/11 incident occurred. Of course, he really meant the Jews.
He's speaking code. Donald Trump, as you know, Tex, knows exactly what's going on. He knows exactly what happened on 9/11.
Yeah, didn't he tell us at one time in the last few months that when he was president, we would find out?
He did make an oblique reference to that. He's not going to say it now. He's playing it straight. He made the obligatory appearance at AIPAC. He just had to do it. He wants to live. He doesn't want to die.
That's right. You know, InfoWars, Alex Jones. Alex Jones knows it's the Jews, but it's for fear of the Jews. He doesn't want to lose his radio program, maybe his life. So, you know,
he's a gatekeeper.
Hollywood. That's nonsense.
Of course.
That's nonsense.
Yeah.
Alex knows that the Arabs, Khashoggi and all the Arab sheikhs, they don't own Hollywood. He knows that. But, you know, he's got to continue to have this pretext to you know, because he's got to keep his, let's just say, his program. He'd be cut off the air. You're one of the few that really have the guts and the courage just to say, hey, folks, this is the way it is.
I won't ever work for anyone else. No way. I will not be told what to do. Nobody owns me. And 1 year ago, on the 24th, they tried to take me out. And
wow.
It didn't work.
Recall that.
It's been a year. I'm on borrowed time, as they say.
Thank God they didn't. And but it is great to tell the truth and to wake up in the morning and look in the mirror and say, "Boy, what am I going to do today to expose these rascals?" You know, that's the way I do it every day, Jeff. I don't know about you.
Yeah.
I can't wait to expose them more.
Yeah.
You know, but it's interesting to me. Everything just fits together. I wish I had time to write 100 books, but people they're discovering it now, and they're beginning to to write things and tell me things. Mm-hmm. And it's very, very interesting how it all works together.
It is.
But I want to talk to you today, if we could, about the press.
Please.
You know, the press, I believe we're in a very particular stage of history, Jeff, where what we call the press, you know, we look back and no freedom, the press, the First Amendment, all those things we read about and how it's developed here in the United States, that we now have, for temporarily, maybe the last 50 years, we have lost freedom of the press because of the lying jackals that now control our media. And I mean mainly the Jews, I really do, that control, the television, ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox News, all of those are on. Of course, we have the print media that are dying out very fast, the Washington Post, the
yes.
New York Times,
yeah.
and so forth. We even have the internet media that they've tried to get us to watch and to cleave to, and nobody wants to, and I'm talking about, you know, the liberal journals on the online, Salon, the Beast, I think, one of the Daily Beast, I think it's
yeah.
called.
Yeah.
Of course, even the Christians have these fake programs that are sponsored by the Israelis, the Jews, and I'm talking about WorldNet Daily, WND, and Newsmax. And they give us fake news. So all of these things we have, you know, sort of going into our consciousness. It's interesting to me. I studied this very carefully. Some years ago, I studied what happened in the Soviet Union with their press. You know, people every day would get the Pravda, and Pravda, by the way, is our main newspaper in the Soviet Union. It was, and Pravda means truth. Truth. They were given their dose of truth every day. But it's interesting that they got to the point where nobody, from 1917 to sometime it probably happened about 1950 or 60, they quit believing. They quit believing in Pravda. And everything the government gave them, their school books, everything, were all, of course, tainted, told lies. And they just quit believing. And, you know, they had something called Samizdat.
Yes.
Samizdat,
yeah,
which is a Russian word. But basically, they would pass around mimeograph papers, you know, the old blue copy things, you know, you run it with your hand, the roll-type press. They would print those things and staple them together and pass them around and believe those things. And those were being passed around by the millions, by everybody. But as far as the official establishment press, nobody believed it. Nobody believed what their own government was telling them. And that's what it is in America now. Nobody believes what Obama says. Nobody believes what the Clintons say. Nobody believes the Washington Post or the New York Times.
Nobody with a brain. Yeah.
I mean, all the news is fit to print. That's what the New York Times. That's nonsense. That's just a yellow, dirty rag. Everybody knows it.
Sure.
And everybody knows that what you watch on Fox News is all a bunch of baloney. I mean, O'Reilly, Megyn Kelly, all of them. They do
vicious.
Whatever they're
supposed
to tell them to do.
Vicious baloney.
Vicious baloney. That's right. You know, and they've been told, of course, to go after Trump, and now they're in trouble for it because Trump has retaliated.
Yeah.
But in every case, all of these, and you know, I don't believe any of them. You know, and so now we're at a crossroads, the people of America.
Uh-huh.
What do we do? We can't believe the media anymore. And I think we're going to have to be very discriminating and very, very careful in what we read, because what goes into our mind will really affect us. And people they don't often tell me this, but this is what they're thinking. You know, they write to me and say, Tex, what is the truth about A, B, or C? Well, it's been in the newspaper for years. What do you mean? Why ask me? Well, of course, they know their newspapers have lied to them. By the way, newspapers are dying out.
They are. Yeah.
And the New York Times, Washington Post, they've sold out to big billionaires and so
oh, yeah.
forth.
Yeah.
But it's, if you go back and look at the history, it didn't just start in, like, you know, the days of Bush or Clinton. This began really, oh my goodness, 100 years ago, the sellout of the press. You know, you read about a guy named Walter Duranty, mm-hmm. who was in the Soviet Union. It was sent by the New York Times to the Soviet Union, and he was their press agent. He was the guy that their correspondent in Moscow. He sent forth tell us what a wonderful experiment it was, 1917 on. I mean, how wonderful Lenin and Trotsky and Stalin, wow. the great things they were doing, how Russia was going to end up the greatest country in the world with the biggest economy, all because of the Russian communist experiment. This uh-huh. is what was printed in the pages of the New York Times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It turned out to be garbage when the whole, you know, nation just fell apart. The Iron Curtain, you know, at least fell right. temporarily there.
Yep.
But it's interesting now, you know, when you read the story of Richard Nixon and how he fell from office, it didn't just happen just by accident.
No.
It was all engineered. In fact, yes. they engineered it so they first got rid of his vice president, Spiro Agnew.
Yeah.
Because they knew that Spiro Agnew, he knew the truth about the Jews, and he was a bigger threat to them than Richard Nixon was.
That's absolutely correct. Totally correct. Yep.
So they got rid of him first. Can you imagine they first got rid of him? Because they keep a dossier on everybody. They know everything you do. And they had this little bitty thing where he had taken some graft, what was it, $15,000 or something for some construction job.
Oh, his pocket change. Yeah.
There you go. He was a supervisor of a county there in Maryland. And they brought that up out of the files and said, okay, we're going to force you out. Get out now. Mm-hmm. And they forced him out. And then shortly after that, of course, Nixon resigned. And it was all because Woodward and Bernstein were assigned to get rid of Nixon. And the Watergate thing, all that exploded. And none of it made any sense. I mean, today Obama's done things 100 times worse than that.
You bet.
And the Clintons, goodness, look at their kill ratio.
Yeah. The Clinton death list, it's 100 people, give or take, that we know about.
Yeah.
And I also remember that in all likelihood, Nixon was told, you either resign or you're going out feet first. I don't think he was given a choice.
That's right. I believe that exactly. I think his whole family,
yeah,
was threatened.
Yeah, I think that the
daughters and all that, but they were going to die too.
Yeah. I think the Zionists realized the country couldn't take another death that quickly, so that I think they backed off and said, you know, just get out or you're going to die, and they knew he'd get out, so he got out.
Yeah, he really did. He resigned, and of course. The cowardly Congress, you remember who was the head senator then? It was the guy that ran for president, Robert Dole.
Yeah, Robert Dole.
What a joke that guy was, you know, 33rd degree Mason and all that.
Right.
And, of course, he's the one that told that they wouldn't back up anybody against the Jews. And, of course, you know, now we know that the Jews were involved with LBJ. LBJ, what a crud that guy was. You know, I'm here in the midst of LBJ country in Austin, Texas. Everybody in Austin, Texas knows, except the liberals. They all love the guy, of course.
The great society.
He was part of the plot to kill Kennedy. He was a monster of a man. He was, he did terrible things sexually to women. He was a horrible person.
Right, absolutely scum of the earth. Did you see or hear the program that we did, reverse speech on the JFK murder? You know what reverse speech is, right?
I sure do. Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, David John Oates worked on this for weeks and weeks. He has totally resolved the whole damn thing. It's all there. It's on the right-hand side of my homepage. Look in the featured stories section. Just scroll down a little bit below Fukushima and the radiation, and you'll see it. JFK, murder solved, reverse speech. You listen to that, your jaw will hit the desk. David has reversed Richard Nixon, Billy Graham, almost a whole hour of the lying scumbag LBJ, J. Edgar Hoover, Lee Harvey Oswald, who was an innocent dupe, and you hear it, Jack Ruby, they're all there, all of them, George Herbert Walker Bush, and they're all in reverse showing and speaking their subconscious truth, and they're all admitting their role in the murder of John Kennedy. It's one of the most devastating programs I've ever heard.
You remember, I remember Lee Harvey Oswald's mother at the time, Marguerite Oswald. And the whole nation hated the woman because, you know, she was only because she was the mother of
right.
Lee Harvey Oswald.
Right.
But she cried and she said at the time of his death, she said, "It'll come out someday that my son,
yeah,
was a hero." You know, and she knew he worked for the CIA. She knew what he was all about. And so, It's astonishing. All these things are so true, Jeff, and you and I know that. And
yeah.
the people listening to us out there now who may be surprised at these things, listen, folks, get some books, read these books. You can read about, get a book by Madeline Brown, who is the mistress to JFK. To LBJ, Lyndon B. Johnson.
Right.
She told him he told her what he had done.
Oh, yeah.
And by the way, you'll see pictures of LBJ's children by her, by Madeline Brown. These things have been exposed.
Uh-huh.
And it's interesting. Of course, we know all these things. You know, my own wife, Wanda, she worked for the attorney here. She worked in the office. Where the attorney was the top guy here in Texas, who was LBJ's guy. You may remember, what was his name? Barr. I'm sorry, I forgot it now. Exposed the fact that this guy was the top attorney here in Texas,
uh-huh.
And he knew about it. He knew about LBJ and the whole thing. But we start back with JFK. I think the real cascading of horrible events began with the murder of JFK.
Oh, it was a coup d'etat of the United States of America, the most powerful country of the world, literally a broad daylight execution of the duly elected president, a man who understood who the enemies of the republic really were, and they took him out and made an example of him. And then they did the same thing to his brother, and then they did the same thing to his son, John Kennedy Jr. They murdered him, and it was night, but right in plain view. Blew his plane out of the sky. He killed him. They kill people all the time.
They do. It's astonishing. I've often said to myself, why am I still alive? A lot of people ask me that. I'm sure they
yeah.
do, you too.
Oh, yeah.
If you write these things, Jeff, if you do say these things in your program, why are you still alive? Well, you know, God has a big say in things. You know,
it works for me.
They're not going to undo God, and God has a purpose for you being there, me being here. But some people, of course, if you don't have God's let's just say ordination or sanction, you're going to be in real trouble. But it's interesting to me how now people are finding out about these things.
They are. Tex, hold on just a second. We have to pause. They're finding out. Many of them don't know quite what to do with it, but I think ultimately it's translating into the rage you see in support of Donald Trump. That growing support is the anger that the American people feel and sense and see now of how they have been raped by the establishment and the controllers. They're sick of it. And that's the story of Donald Trump. It's a reflection of the rage of America. Back in a minute. Hold on. Okay, let's get back to Tex Mars. It's amazing when you think about what Tex has been saying, that the American public is so tired of being abused and deceived and lied to by the mainstream media. There have been polls out that most Americans, the majority of Americans at least, believe Vladimir Putin more than they do this government. In fact, a lot of them would rather see Putin in the White House than the phony who's in there now. It's really crazy. So where do we go next? What's next for the people?
You know, that's true. I go myself and I look at the foreign press. I look at British newspapers. I'd rather go to radio to the Tehran, Iran newspaper.
Tehran Times, yeah.
You go, or over in India or somewhere, they're more likely to tell the truth than the American press because the American press actually has agents in every news office, big and small, watching and making sure that reporters can only say certain things.
It's been that way since the 1950s, Tex. The CIA has penetrated every major news outlet in the country. Goes back to Operation Northwoods. You're right. You're totally right.
And, you know, back then, in the 50s, the 60s, even the 70s, the American people were led to believe that our newsmen were the most respected.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, remember Walter Cronkite?
Cronkite, the great anchor man, yeah.
The most trusted man.
Yeah.
It wasn't until later years that I learned he was a member of the World Federalist.
He was in all of it, yeah.
Yeah, the guy wanted a new world order. He was lying every day there at CBS. Of course, you know, Dan Rather, the same way. All of them lying. And, of course, 96% of them voted the liberal path. Now we know that. It's interesting, a study today by the American Press Institute, whatever that is, as reported in Drudge, says that only 6% of the press in America, total, and I'm talking about TV and online and the print media, has only a 6% approval rating. And only 6%. Now, Congress is really down. Only 9%.
Wow.
Of Congress's how they're handling their job. Think about it. 9%
That's
for
amazing.
Congress.
That's amazing.
And 6% for the media. I mean, it's so it's astonishing. 6%. I mean, there's no doubt that the Russian people, more than 6%, believe the communists.
Yeah.
But now we know nobody believes what the media reports. I mean, the New York Times. I mean, that's not even worth. I mean, use it for toilet paper. That's about what it's worth.
Right.
It's just. I mean, we don't. So what do we do? We can't go to WorldNet Daily. We can't go to Newsmax. We can't go to these places.
They're all agenda driven. And you know, the other thing, I look at the mainstream media. It's owned by all of it. It's owned 95%+ owned by five major corporations now. That's what they say. The mainstream media in this country is really the fourth branch of government. Think about it. It's the propaganda branch.
It is, and yet people don't believe it. So no, the establishment has been discredited. I mean, think of it. We got rid of John Boehner as House Speaker. First of all, we started with Eric Cantor. Remember him?
Oh, yeah.
He was there in the House. We got rid of him, and then we got rid of John the crybaby, John Boehner, and they put somebody worse in. They thought, well, Paul Ryan, he's
worse.
A nice guy.
Absolutely. Worse.
I mean, he's a, you know, a clean-cut guy. Surely they'll believe in him. Of course, now, nobody believed from the very beginning, nobody cared about the guy, Paul Ryan. I mean, this guy ran for vice president, I mean, with Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney Bain works for Bain, and Bain has the one of the top leaders in the Mossad spy agency as its boss. He works directly for Mossad, Mitt Romney. So none of these people have any credence at all. Nobody believes them. And of course, they were counting on Paul Ryan, you know, Karl Rove, the brain behind George W's election and all. They were all counting on Paul Ryan going to the convention, and suddenly he was going to be the fresh face.
Magical fresh face. That's right.
Magical fresh face. Boy, he was going to be our new president, and everybody was going to dump Trump and go for this guy. No, we're not. Now, Bill O'Reilly the other night said something true, and I'm sort of upset about it at first. I was listening to him on the O'Reilly Factor on Fox News. But he says this anger is all coming from angry white males.
Oh, I disagree, Mr. O'Reilly. Sorry. There are an awful lot of blacks.
That's what they want to think is angry white males.
No.
And I'm thinking, you know, the black people, I know there's Black Lives Matter out there. I know that they're just trash communists. Many of them are being promoted by George Soros. They're paid protesters and all.
$15 an hour.
Many have very little education. They've been, really, they're like demented people. They've been put in these ghettos, locked behind, you know, basically they're in insane asylums in Chicago, Detroit, Cleveland. That's what they are. They're just like being, they've been put in insane asylums, all these black people. But now the blacks are waking up. The blacks are beginning to wake up. You got Sheriff Clark up in Milwaukee. You know,
he's
awake.
Oh yeah.
And so they're awake to Trump's got supporters. I saw today on TV has some very very educated, very intelligent black people, and they know they've been hit by these race hustlers, Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton. I mean Al Sharpton, the guy, he's not as smart as my little granddaughter who's like 7 years old, you know. They're just idiots. They're all idiots.
Yeah.
And let me just say that. That's not true of all the black people. Now, blacks are beginning to wake up. It's no longer angry white males. They're not going to be able to fool the black people much longer. Now, I know maybe some of them in the ghettos are just sort of lost causes with drugs and guns.
Well, those who have not availed themselves of the chance to become educated will never probably get it. But those who go through school and actually make the effort, apply themselves, how can they not see it now? They've got to be tired of being thrown out with the trash. It's time to stop it. And they know it. This is their chance. So a lot of them are waking up.
It's their chance to break free.
Yeah.
Many of them, you know, I feel very sorry for them. I see them out there, and I feel very sorry for them. But of course, now they're trying to poison. They're trying to, you know, there's a big movement afoot by the, I call them the Illuminati elite, to let these people out of prisons. They've been locking them up for years and years, for mostly for drug charges, and rightly so. They're criminals. But now they want to let them go free so they can push their drugs even further. And they're hoping they'll go get out of prison, go back to the ghettos, and continue the perpetuation, the cycle of dependency and criminality. That's what they hope that will happen if they let these guys out of prison. And that's, of course, why Obama's pardoning all these people and letting them out of prison early and so forth. So we've got to understand the Republicans are behind that. The Democrats are behind it. It's a big movement right now to let these people out of prison early. And they want to let them, they say there's millions of them behind bars now.
Yeah.
So, of course, you know, they deserve to be behind bars. We need to keep them behind bars. I'm sorry to say that. But on the other hand, we need to understand why they're there and who put them there.
Let's say one thing, too, Tex. There are a lot of Hispanic American citizens who are pro-Trump. They're tired of these people coming across the border. Wherever they come from, it doesn't matter to them because they know they're taking American jobs, they're harming the economy, they're taking their tax money, they're really bleeding them too. So look, this Trump is a phenomenon. Unless Trump, this is our last chance. This is it. Unless Donald Trump can ascend to the nomination and become president, America is done. Finished. That's my view.
I agree, and it'll be interesting to see if he's able to get done what he wants to get done, because they're going to mount a terrific challenge to the man.
They're already starting about how to impeach him, and he's not even got the nomination yet. WorldNet Daily has a story about impeach Trump.
Impeach Trump?
Yes.
Well, you know, in my newest newsletter, it will be out, the 1st of May. It's entitled "Donald Trump Has a Bullseye Target on His Back," and I believe that's true. I mean,
he sure does. Oh, yeah.
They're finding out this guy; he may be worse than JFK.
I've said this,
worse than the elite is what I mean by that.
I've said this before, and I concur with you. I think this man will go down in history as one of the greatest presidents in our country's tenure on this planet. I do think he is more of a threat to them than JFK because he is already speaking things in the nomination process that JFK never would have said. I mean, it's amazing.
Right. Course, now he's exposed the nomination process, what a scam it is. and how these people are, you know, the establishment in every state is rigging things. I mean, nobody had the guts to say that kind of stuff before Jeff.
Nope. Everything he has said has initially elicited outrage in the media. Outrage. And then what happens? The other candidates, most of them gone now except for two, began to pick up pieces of Donald Trump. And now what Donald Trump said that so shocked people 6 months ago is accepted as fine. No problem.
Sure. Absolutely. For example, there's a statement about NATO.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I was in the Air Force for over 20 years.
You know, I was going to ask you about that. That's a very brave and correct statement he made.
You know, I wrote an article many, many years ago. In fact, it's been about 35 years, I guess. And I wrote it for Atlantic Magazine. Very high flight magazine. At least I wrote it. Now they did not accept the article, and I was an officer at the time. I wrote it. I had to use a pseudonym. And I wrote it. And I talked about we need to get rid of NATO. NATO has no use at all. The editorial board had two or three meetings on it. They finally decided no, they didn't want to go that direction at that time. That was 35 years ago, probably, Jeff.
Right.
Where we need to get rid of NATO. We don't need NATO. Of course, after the Soviet Union fell, we still kept NATO. You remember the book by a CFR member named Francis Fukuyama called The End of History? Now that the Soviet communism has fallen, now the we can get on with building the new world order. It'll be wonderful. And suddenly we've devolved into this warring planet, thousands of conflicts going on across the globe.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that's what they had planned all along. It's just an interesting thing. Now, this thing with Saudi Arabia, I think, is very interesting. Remember, it's a 2002 report, and they're keeping 28 pages of it locked up.
Yeah.
Now, and they're saying the reason they need to keep it locked up, according to Obama, is we cannot let the American people sue other governments, because then the people from those countries would sue us. Now, look, this has nothing to do with lawsuits.
Please.
This has to do with truth.
What a lying dirtbag that guy is. Jeez.
Yeah, I don't mind. Let them keep the law in effect. About suing other governments. I don't really care, although I do think the 9/11 surviving families deserve the right to sue Israel and Saudi Arabia. And I saw this guy, the former UN ambassador Bolton. Remember him, John Bolton?
John Crazy Bolton. Yeah, he's nuts.
He is nutty as a fruitcake. He was on the Fox today. And the Fox guy was saying, don't you think we ought to release those 28 pages? Oh, No. And then he said, well, I want to find out what happened. And he says, surely, this is what he said now. This is what Moses said. Surely you're not going to demand those 28 pages. Why, George W. has already told us what happened. Surely you're not going to doubt his word, are you?
Oh, my.
If the guy had said, yes, I do doubt his word, he'd have been out of work. He'd have been out of a job.
All true. Yeah.
So he was trying to put it up, you know, look, George W. has told us everything we need to know, he and Dick Cheney. Back in 2002 when this report came out. Why do you need to know what's in that 28 pages? So he was trying to put it on him like, surely you're not disputing the great George W. But you know, it's interesting. We need to go to scholarsfortruth.com and all of these things. They're available now online to people. People know Israel did it, folks. You need to know three words. Yeah. You want 9/11? Israel did it, and all their henchmen, the CIA, the president, the vice president, Dick Cheney, all of these people worked together, but it was mainly Israelis.
That's right.
And, of course, working with Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia, they're skunks. They're dirt bags. I was seeing Ralph Peters, you know, Colonel Ralph Peters was on today, also on the Lou Dobbs show, Fox, and he was saying it. He was saying they're snakes, they're evil.
I saw a little clip of him. Yeah, he's a brave man, too, telling the truth.
He absolutely was. Now, should they release those 28 pages? Well, my goodness, Jeff, it's been 14 years they've kept them locked up. Now, as far as the JFK assassination, I mean, they've kept that locked up now for what? How long has it been since
1963? 53 years.
53 years they've kept the truth locked up. That's given them time to go in there and, of course, and sort through all the stuff. And
oh, it's long since fixed. Oh, yeah.
Oh, sure, it has been, absolutely. 53 years they've kept it locked up. And then they'll finally release it and there'll be nothing there. Although, you know, even Jackie Kennedy herself, they finally released this interview after she died many years.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I believe it was a conspiracy.
Well, look at the, absolutely, of course. And I really want you to listen to the program. You're just going to really enjoy it, if you can enjoy anything like that, because it's the truth. These people are caught speaking their real truth, which is the antithesis of what their forward speeches is maintaining. Their subconscious will not lie. It's incapable of lying. Those reversals are so clear, Tex. It's as if they're speaking forwards. That's how clear they are. It's stunning.
Well, I'm gonna get that on your program and listen.
It's
to
on
that.
The right hand column under featured stories. You'll see Fukushima, then Fukushima radiation, and then you'll see the JFK reverse speech program. It is.
By the way,
let
me just say about Fukushima. You have been the one leading the charge, exposing the horrible radiation problem. What happened at Fukushima?
Oh, yeah.
And at first, people probably thought, "Well, God, Jeff Prince is nuts on this. This can't be." I mean, the Japanese government, you know, must be telling the people the truth. Surely.
Oh yeah.
Wow, everything you said, I mean, it's come out now. I mean,
millions of Americans are going to die of cancer along the West Coast first, and it'll spread across the country. That radiation is not stopping.
Boy, I'll tell you, everything is true there, and it's people need to get up on it. And I have a doctor friend of mine. And right away he said, I believe this radiation story is, and he told me, you know, and I was telling him about your website, and he began to read it, and his own family has been, you know, taking medicines and such to protect themselves. And he was a guy, by the way, who was a real AMA guy.
Uh-huh.
He said, oh, you don't need to take vitamins. You don't need to take any of that stuff. But, he's changed his story on all those things now.
Well, I have the product up there, the Bio Superfood, that was developed at Chernobyl, saved hundreds of thousands of lives. It's got the four most potent algaes on the planet grown in the Kamchatka Peninsula, shipped to Canada, encapsulated, and brought down here to the U.S. A brilliant Russian former Soviet doctor put this together, a PhD, had a staff of over 1,000 people, and they found the four most absolutely powerful strains of algae which can help build the immune system, block radioactivity, and move it out of the body. So I got that up there.
You also advertise Carnivora.
Yes, sir.
And you know, it's interesting how the media has lied to us. You know, I'll give you an example. I have a degree in political science.
Huh.
A bachelor's in political science, have a master's in education.
Uh-huh.
But it's interesting that I had never known, now excuse my ignorance because I only read the establishment's political science books, but I did not know that Franklin Roosevelt was a cripple. Of course, I knew he had a problem and had some, you know, small paralysis.
Oh, no.
But they hid that from us. You know, when he was there giving a speech, you know, talking about the Japan attack on December the 8th, 1941, they had to stage the whole thing for us.
Yeah.
The guy couldn't stand up on his own. They first put him up there, then they let the cameras go. But we saw him there at the, you know, at the Yalta conference there. He was sitting with Churchill and with Stalin. He had to sit down. The guy couldn't stand up. His legs were crippled.
They carried him around.
The press hid all that from Americans. I think there are many Americans that the older ones that lived back in that period that still doubt that. They say, oh, no, he was a very active man.
Oh,
surely
I believe you.
He wasn't
right. Sure. You see something enough and it becomes fact.
Exactly. If they can hide that, for years that a president's absolutely crippled, cannot even walk, cannot even stand on his own.
Nope.
I mean, goodness gracious, these people, the press are prostitutes. They really are.
Oh, yeah, and they were bad then, and they're 100 times worse now, or more.
Aren't they in the schools of journalism? I know they're at the University of Texas where I taught. Oh, my goodness, the journalists, the students were the worst.
Yeah.
I mean,
you noticed, did you see the story, Tex? I don't mean to interrupt, but there's a fascinating story. I'm going to run it tonight again about America's college campuses. People are going around, pro-Trump supporters are using chalk, and they're writing Trump on steps, stairways, on the sidewalks. You know, it's washable chalk. And
sure.
The campuses are reacting. The students are saying they are afraid. They're asking for more security. They're nuts. They're absolute idiots.
They're frightened by it.
Yes.
I mean, they're having to go see psychiatrists.
It's incredible. It's incredible.
Somebody wrote Trump on a park bench or something, and they're frightened of it, Jeff.
I know.
You have to understand, these kids have been coddled. And
this is our next generation of leaders? No. Oh, no. This is bad.
Yeah, it is an astonishing thing. And, of course, this is all they want. And, you know, I noticed this many years ago when I was a young man. I noticed that the true heroes in America never were recognized. For example, here in Austin, Texas, all of our schools, you know, only the liberal leaders they name schools after. Our airport is named after a black woman, one of the first congresswomen. What is that all about? You know, in fact, they've taken off now the Robert E. Lee name off of elementary school.
Uh-huh.
Even though Robert E. Lee really was a great hero.
Oh, they're raping our history is what the liberals are doing. The socialist liberals are taking our history and stripping it of all balance and honor. It's just, there's nothing left.
No, there really isn't. But it's interesting, you know, to a certain extent, O'Reilly was correct when he said this is a matter of the angry white males. I do think maybe we're the core of this angry movement.
Well, we should be, because there's a war declared on us and we are marked for extermination.
That's right. We really are. We are marked for extermination. And we're awakening, Jeff. And now I wonder where this is going to take us. We need to really discriminate.
Yeah.
You know, whenever anything you read, you know, ask yourself, is this true? Who said it? Where's the documentation for it? For example, everything in the Middle East is suspect, is a lie.
Absolutely.
Everything we're told is a lie.
Yeah.
They did had elections down in Syria. Does anybody in America know they had elections in Syria?
No.
And guess what? Assad and his people won.
Yep. You won't hear about it.
They don't want the American jackals, the terrorists in charge. So in Syria, but they won't even tell us that.
No.
Of course, you know, we do know that Saddam Hussein was wildly popular in Iraq. But now we're told that he was a monster, that he killed people, he gassed them and all that stuff. You know, the guy could go right downtown and get on the back of a truck and start talking to people, and everybody had guns, and nobody shot him.
No, same thing with Muammar Gaddafi. A great leader for his people.
A wildly popular guy,
yeah.
And they murdered him.
Yeah. Hillary. Hillary was behind that.
And now Obama has admitted, well, we didn't have plan B. We didn't know what to do next. After we got rid of him, what were we going to do next for Libya? Of course, they already knew. First, they take the gold and the oil. After that, they don't care what happens in Libya.
They don't care. The first thing that was announced by the rebels when they took Benghazi was that the new central bank of Libya was now open for business. That's their first announcement. That's a true story. That was it. All right, Tex, we're running over here, and I want to thank you again for everything, and I look forward to our next visit. New York, tomorrow should be a big day for Trump, the 29th, another big day for Trump next Tuesday. Let's see what happens.
Amen, and thank you so much, Jeff. Appreciate being on your program today.
Thanks, my friend. You take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right. Mr. Tex Mars, just a great man. Go to his website. His materials are just extraordinary. Packed with the truth. Okay, hour number two on tap for you, coming up in just a few.